Yeah, we started discussing Shnayim Mikra Vechatargum last night, so let's pick up from there. So we just quickly chazed what we did last night, get us back into it a little bit. We were discussing what is the Mechayiv of Shnayim Mikra Vechatargum. What is it that that requires us, that what is the basis, the reason for the requirement of Shnayim Mikra Vechatargum, which is mentioned explicitly in the Gemara Maseches Brachos in Daf Ches, that one has to be Mashlim Parshiyosav Im HaTzibur. So we pointed out that there are really three possibilities. One possibility is that the notion of being Mashlim Parshiyosav Im HaTzibur is based on a commemoration of Kriyas HaTorah. The Ravan Shita is that so much so that he held that you only do it when there isn't Kriyas HaTorah, to remember how Kriyas HaTorah used to be done. A second possibility was that it's not a commemoration of Kriyas HaTorah, but we want to enrich the experience of Kriyas HaTorah, that if Kriyas HaTorah is going to be what we want it to be, we want to be able to understand the laning as we hear the laning. So we prepare by doing Shnayim Mikra Vechatar, and then hopefully we'll be able to understand the laning much better. And then the third possibility, we said, is that it's just a curriculum in Talmud Torah, that Chazal wanted to set for us a curriculum by which we finish the entirety of Torah each and every year. And that way, they'll make sure that we learn Torah Shebichsav each and every year. We'll have a mastery of the Chamisha Chumshei Torah. And we pointed out, Nafkamina number one was, what passes as Targum? What can we use as Targum? So we had three possibilities that we saw that they also quoted what you can use as Targum. One possibility is Targum Unklus, that's the ideal, because that is the Targum that the Gemara Megillah says was given B'Sinai. And the second possibility is any translation that people understand. If people understand Unklus, that's great. If people speak French, do a French translation. If people understand English, do an English translation. Whatever it is that people understand. And then the third possibility was Rashi is the ideal. That Rashi, who gives us so much depth and allows us to understand the Chumash through the prism of Midrashei Chazal and Mamari Chazal, that is the idea. So that is, those are the three possibilities. Now we pointed out that those three possibilities align very nicely with the three possible reasons for Shnayim Mikra. If you hold that it's to commemorate Kriyas HaTorah, so you'd want to do it the way they did Kriyas HaTorah, which was always with Targum Unkelus. That's the way the Metargim used to be Metargim the Torah. And if you hold that it's about enriching the experience of Kriyas HaTorah so we understand it better, so then whatever language you understand, just to make sure you understand the Kriyas HaTorah, so you can do it in whatever language. But if you hold that it's about learning Torah, that it's about setting a curriculum in Talmud Torah, so certainly to understand the Torah based on Midrash HaChazal and based on the Gemaras and based on the Torah Shebal Peh, that's the way the Torah is meant to be learned. And since that's the way the Torah is meant to be learned, it is the highest level of kiyum of Talmud Torah to do so with Rashi. So that was nafkamina number one. But we mentioned that there might be nine other nafkaminas. So let's go through some of the other potential nafkaminas. So nafkamina number two. What do you do when there's a word that doesn't have any targum at all? So the Gemara addresses this directly, right? The Gemara says you have to do shnayim mikra vecha targum afilu ataros v'divon. And Rashi says that those are words that don't have any targum, and you have to read them three times, because since they don't have Targum, you just read them again, that they are their own Targum. And that's what the Rambam paskins in the 13th parak of Hilchos Tefillah as well. The Rambam writes, U'pasuk she'en bo Targum koreu shalosh pa'amim ad she'yash in parashiyos of Matzibur, that if it doesn't have Targum, so read it three times until you mashlim the parashiyos with the Tzibur. However, Tosvos in Brachos Tav Chesem and Beis and the Rush disagree with Rashi. And they say, no, if Rashi were correct, then why give the example of Ataros V'Divon? Give the example of Ruven V'Shimon, where there's no Targum whatsoever. There's no Targum Onkelos, there's no Targum Yerushalmi, there's no Targum at all on Ruven V'Shimon. Why would it choose Ataros V'Divon, which at least has a Targum Yerushalmi? In our Chumash, the Targum Yerushalmi is sort of incorporated into the Targum Onkelos. Chavis Yair points this out in the Sefer Makor Chai, Yerushalayim, it's already incorporated in. But the Rishonim say that there is a Targum Yerushalmi on Ataras V'divon, and there is no Targum Onkelos. Furthermore, Rabbeinu Yonah, the Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, in the back of Maseches Brachos, and Avdalar and Beis Medapei Arif, raise another question, that if the reason is that they don't have any Targum, why does the Gemara mention Dafka Ataras V'divon? There are many other Pesukim that don't have a Targum. The Pesukim of Birchas Kohan and many other Pesukim that don't have a Targum. What's special about these Pesukim in particular? And therefore the Rishonim explain that when the Gemara, what the Gemara really means to say is that any word that has some sort of Targum, you need to read it with its Targum. A word that has no Targum at all, some say that you don't have to read it three times. The Rosh says you don't have to read it three times, and others are not sure. Other Rishonim, Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah, for example, is not sure what you do then. It could be that twice is enough, it could be that three times is enough, but any word that has any Targum needs to be read with its Targum. The Torah points out that the minug is to be machmir, like Shitas Rashi, to read three times Ruvein v'Shimon and any other such psukim that do not have any targum. So if a person reads Pirush Rashi instead of a targum, instead of Targum Onkelos, for example, the Mishnah Berurah writes in Sifkat and Hay that you should read those psukim that don't have Rashi on them three times. And by reading the psukim that don't have Rashi three times, you're therefore being Yotze Shnayim Mekovecha Targum. Maybe this is this machlokas relates back to our Chakira as well. That if the purpose of the kriya, if the purpose of the chiyuv is like a kriya satara with the meturgaman, so you should do whatever the meturgaman did, meaning not to be metargim when there is no targum. But in the stomach they would say it a third time, because a lot of times the words that don't have a targum are smack in the middle of a pasuk. So it would be weird to translate a pasuk and just like skip words, right? So in the stomach they read the whole pasuk. So then you'd read those words a third time. If the takana is an offshoot of limud Torah to be experts in Torah, so then two times is enough. There's no reason to read it the third time. It's not adding anything when you read it the third time. The third time of having Targum is when it needs a translation. But if it doesn't need a translation, so then twice L'chora should be enough. So someone who would read Rashi instead of Targum, and Rashi doesn't have a comment on that pasuk, if you were to hold that it's a din in Talmud Torah, maybe there would be no need to read it a third time. Yeah.
Interesting, because it would seem as though if you line it up this way, that Rashi would hold that his parish is not
Talmud. Rashi would say you can't be Yotze with Rashi.
He doesn't have to say either or. if you
line
it up that
way. Right. Okay. Good. Another potential. Yeah. What? Yeah, okay. So I guess in the Gemara they didn't have, maybe that's, no, because that's Targum Yerushalmi, it's built into Onkelos. That's the Makor Chaim Sahara. That our Onkelos has Targum Yerushalmi incorporated into it. So wherever there was an Onkelos and there was Targum Yerushalmi, it made its way in. Then another potential nafkamina. How do you do Shnayim Mekravecha Targum? Meaning, what's the approach, what's the method? So there's a machlokas haposkim. Some poskim say you read each pasuk twice, and then right away the targum on that pasuk. Others say you read an entire parsha meaning, you know, psuchostuma, and right away the targum on that parsha after you read it twice. Others say read the entire sedra twice, and then the targum on the entire sedra, meaning you just read through the entire parsha the way we call parsha, right? The entire sedra twice, and then read the targum. And Achronim quote every other possibility also. I mean, there are all sorts of possibilities that are mentioned by different Achronim. The Divrei Chamudos in Os Mem Aleph on the bottom of the page in the Rush in the back of Maseches Brachos, he quotes the first two shitas, right? To do pasuk targum, or to do Parsha Targum. Again, Parsha meaning Psuchostuma Targum. And after he quotes the Shita of the Ravan, that Shnayim Mekovecha Targum corresponds to the Metargim during Kriyas HaTorah, the Divrei Chamudos then writes, Umikan nirali shekavanas chachamenu b'mash amru sheyikra shnayim mikra sherotzim b'zeh sheyikra be'iz pa'amim pasuk echad levad k'mo shayu osin atzibur kishem etargamin. That what Chazal meant when they said to do shnayim mikra is that you should read twice the pasuk alone and like they would do when they had when they would be metargim k'dnam me'megillah hasam v'lo yikra meturgaman yosur mi pasuk echad, meaning only one pasuk at a time, because when they had a meturgaman they would only feed him one pasuk at a time. You can't like say a whole parsha and then expect the Meturgaman to just translate the whole parsha. So they would only feed him one pasuk at a time. And it's logical that it should match up. Because why do they not feed him more than one pasuk at a time? Because the listener is not going to be able to follow if it's more than one pasuk at a time. He's not going to see what's translating what. Only if you do in small bite-sized pieces will he be able to connect to what's translating what. And just like so for us also, when we're learning, you're going to read the whole parsha and then you read the Targum of the parsha, you're not going to remember what you're even translating. So Kamosha Tamas Mashem Subravinim Yosef, so he says over here also, Vasi Shapir to Kamar Shnayim, says, fascinating, says Divrei Chamudos. That's why it's not Shtayim Mikravech, it's argument Shnayim Mikra, Belashon Zachar. Because Parsha is feminine. So it would have been, would not have been Shnayim. But Pasuk is a masculine word. So it's Shnayim Mikravech Targum because it's Pasuk, and Targum. And then he writes that Shamati B'Shem Rav Shlomo Luria Zatzal, the Marshal, Shemefarish Likros Kol HaParsha UParsha Beis Pa'amim, and then the Targum. Udulo Ka'amar Shtayim V'Achas, Dulo Tema Shtayim in HaParshios Yikra Mikra V'Achar Kachashlishis Yikra Targum. Why doesn't it say Shtayim Mikra? He says, because that would have misled people. Then they would have thought if you have three consecutive Parshios, read one parsha, just Mikra, then the next parsha, just Mikra, then the next parsha, just Targum. That's what people would have thought. I don't know why anyone would have thought that, but that's the concern, that's what people would have thought if it would have said Shtayim Mikra. So that's why they made it Shnayim Mikra. So those are the two possibilities that he suggests. But then he rejects that second possibility. He says, Imishum ha lo iria. Because even if it would have said Shtayim, it's so weird for it to assume that people would think that. He says, Dava racho ksheyita shum toa lomar dishtei parshios yikra mikra vachach shlishos targum. What would be the? How would you logically, come to grips with that in your mind? Why that would make sense? Why would anyone have such a havamina? Va'adraba lufid varav hashad diktani shnayim ayesh makom litzos lefarish based upon mikra haynu apostle v'lo parasha. And you could still make the same mistake with the word shnayim also. So you could just say that you might think. Pasuk, and then Targum, and then a third Pasuk. So he doesn't think that really solves anything, and the Divrei Chamudos therefore rejects that which he heard b'shem Rav Shlomo Luria. Magen Avraham in Reish Pei Sivkan Alf writes that Shnayim Mikravecha Targum he should be done the second way that the Divrei Chamudos says, meaning to do not pasuk, but parsha, and then the targum. The Aruch HaShulchan also says minasvara to do that way, parsha, and then targum, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the entire parsha to Moshe Rabbeinu at one time. So since HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented it to Moshe Rabbeinu as a parsha, and he sort of took a breather between the parshios, that's the spacing between the parshios, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu sort of pausing, sort of taking a breather. So between each parsha, there's a hafzik. But then there's a third sheet that the Aruch HaShulchan mentions in Simin Reish Pei Hei Oz Zayin, and he writes, "V'yesha korin kol asidra va'achar kach pam sheni va'achar kach hatargum." Like we said, the entire sedra twice, and then the targum. He says it sounds like this from Rashi in Maseches Brachos and from the Lashon the Gemara there. Rav Bibi Bar Abaye Savor La Ashlaminu leParshiyasa deKulushasa b'Male Yom deKipure. What does that mean? Parshiyasa deKulushasa means the parshios of throughout the year. When I say the parshios of the year, what comes to mind? What parshios? What we call parshios. If you're talking about sections within a parsha, you wouldn't say the parshios of the year. You would say each section of the Torah. But of the year, you're implying that each week we move ahead toward finishing that year's curriculum. So the parshios of the year, and then you do the Rashi. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan suggests as a third possibility.
You're doing Rashi, which is like a commentary. Does that mean you should do multiple pasukim at a time so you can understand this commentary?
So you can understand the context, you're saying?
Right.
I mean, it may be subject to the same debate. We'll see. We'll see how it plugs in with the Nafkamina. But certainly that's logical, right? You'd want to see the entire parsha at least once to know how the commentary fits in. There's a fascinating... Yeah?
Sometimes it'll be like a Rashi on like multiple pesukim.
Right, right. So it doesn't work so neatly, right? So then you'd have to say it's on the parsha at a time. Lav dafka sedra, but a parsha at least like the second day. There is also a comment, an entirely different mahalich to this, which is I always found fascinating, from Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky. In the Sefer Emes Liakov, there is a mavo lelimud mikra. There's like an introduction to the concept of learning mikra. And it's a fascinating piece. If you ever have, I don't know, it doesn't take that long to read, a half hour, to sit and learn the Mavo Limud HaMikra, the beginning of Sefer Emes Liakov, fascinating take on the relationship between Torah Shebichsav and Torah Shebal Peh, the relationship between Mishnah and Braisa, the relationship between Navi and Chumash. And Rabbi Yaakov writes over there, in Sefer Emes Liakov on Shulchan Aruch, it's also, they reprinted it in Simen Resh Peh Hey, that a fourth possibility. He said, maybe what you should do is read the entire parsha through and then go Pasuk Targum, Pasuk Targum, Pasuk Targum. Something my preferred method also. That what does that do for you? Why would you do that? So he says as follows. He says, In what way is Chumash different than the rest of Torah? What distinguishes Chumash in terms of the kiyum of limud of Chumash than the rest of Torah? Or lav dafka, that has to be. But he says Chumash is different than the rest of Torah in that one can fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah just by reading Chumash. Even if you don't understand it, just by reading the words of the Chumash, even without any havana, one can fulfill the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Where does he get that from? So, it's, by the way, Shulchan Aruch Harav in Hilchos Talmud Torah also says the same thing. He also says that one can fulfill, meaning if, let's say, a person is not Maris, doesn't know how to learn, and he shows up to shul a few minutes early, and he wants to get the mitzvah of Talmud Torah, but he doesn't know how to learn anything. If he could read Hebrew, take a chumash off the shelf and just start reading it, and that's a partial kiyum mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Where does he get it from? So he gets it from the fact that in different places in Shas, the term Mikra is used to describe Tanakh, and in other places in Shas, the term Mikra is used to describe only Chumash, and not Navi. Sometimes the Gemara will say, we'll break up a pasuk like Masechet Megillah, and we'll say, oh, this is a reference to Mikra, and that's a reference to Navi, and that's a reference to Ksuvim, meaning implying that Mikra is only Chumash. And yet, the Gemara Kedushin we quoted the other day, right? That long Yishalei Shalom Shalosav, Shlish be Mikra, Shlish be Mishnah, Shlish be Talmud. Wait a second, when are you learning Nach? Elamai, Mikra includes all of Tanakh. He says, why is that? Why does the word Mikra sometimes only mean Torah and other times mean all of Tanakh? So says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, what does the word Mikra mean? What does it mean? Reading. So he says, Mikra emphasizes the value of reading. Tanakh klape Torah Shebal Peh is more mikra than Torah Shebal Peh, because Torah Shebal Peh is supposed to be Bal Peh. Tanakh is read from a sefer, so it's a greater level of mikra than Torah Shebal Peh. It's appropriate when comparing it to Torah Shebal Peh. It's appropriate to call Tanakh mikra. When comparing the different components of Torah Shebichsav, Chumash is more mikra than Nach. Why? Why is Chumash more Mikra than Nach? So I would have said, Kriya Satara. No, says Rabbi Yaakov, Chumash is more Mikra than Nach because just reading is a Kiyum. In Nach, if you only read, but you don't understand, there's no Kiyum. It fits very nicely with the nature of Nevuah. That Nevuah, you know, what distinguishes Chumash from the rest of Kol HaTorah Kula, from the rest of Torah Shebichsav, rather, is that Chumash was given word for word. It was dictated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, word for word. So every single word you're saying is Hashem's language. It's Hashem's word. Navi wasn't written that way. How is Nach written? Hashem didn't dictate word for word. What happened? A Navi saw, what did he see? A vision, a picture, a something. He saw a vision. And then his job was describe the vision. And he wrote it down in Navi. So if you're reading the words of Navi without getting the vision, you're not getting God's part. God didn't give the words, he gave the vision. So if you're reading without understanding it, you're not getting Kiyum Mitzvah Talmud Torah. So Chumash is more Mikra than Nach is. Tanakh is more Mikra than Torah Shebal Peh is. So says Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, if you want to highlight what's special about Chumash and what distinguishes Chumash, you know what the best thing to do is? Learn it twice. Once in a way that demonstrates that you could be Yotzei Talmud Torah in even the most surface reading of it, and then learn it a second time with Havana. And the second time when you learn it with Havana, you're showing the deeper level of Talmud Torah that applies to the rest of Torah. So you should learn it once, just read it through without understanding anything. I mean, you can't prevent yourself from understanding, but I'm just saying, like, without having to understand anything, the way someone who doesn't understand would read it, and then read it a second time, the way someone who's trying to learn and understand would read it. So says Rabbi Yaakov, that leads me to the conclusion that you should do the entire parsha, and then pasuk targum. So that is shita number four.
So would that not work for Devar? Aren't there some things that Devar was actually Moshe?
No. Devarim, Mishnah Torah is different, and it is a review of Kala Torah Kula. But you talk about the Shemona Pesukim?
No, isn't there an opinion in the Gemara maybe that actually Devarim, in a way, was like the beginning of Nevuah? Right?
It is the transitional point, but it is certainly word for word dictated by Kodesh Baruch Hu. The question of the last eight Pesukim, the Gemara talks about in Maseches Menachos and Maseches Babasra, what do we do about the last eight Pesukim in the Torah? Because the eight Pesukim before the end of the Torah, the Pesuk says, Vayom Hashem Moshe Eved Hashem. So dead people can't write, and live people shouldn't lie and say that they're dead. Right? So the Gemara has that problem. Right? What do you do with the last eight Pesukim? So, but we assume that Kala Torah this would apply to. Now, maybe this relates to our Chakira. If the purpose of the Kriya is to understand and to learn, so do it in the way that you learn best. And L'chora, that would depend on who you are. Some people maybe understand better when they read the whole Parsha all at once, and then they are able to absorb things better. Some maybe by reading Pasuk by Pasuk with the Targum will absorb things better. But if it's similar to Kriyas HaTorah with the Meturgaman, then you should do exactly like Kriyas HaTorah with the Meturgaman, if that's what you're trying to do. So depending on what your goal is, what you believe the goal of this is, then the L'chor would change how to best do it. Now, in general, whenever people ask Shailas about Shnai Mikra, I have a klal in terms of paskening Shnai Mikra Shailas. Safik Shnai Mikra Lahakel. I think it's an important klal. Why? Why Safik Shnai Mikra Lahakel? Because I find that not enough people do Shnai Mikra. Like we mentioned yesterday, there's no chiv to finish Shas. It's a halach and shulchan aruch. You got to do Shnai Mikra. So I think, you know, it's like a takanas hashavim almost. You know, you got to make it as easy as possible for people to do, and then hopefully once people get in the habit, they'll enhance their Shnai Mikra. But if you're more comfortable doing it one way or the other, at least in this area, we know for sure that you have plenty to rely on. Yeah.
Is there anything in between, or it's either Pasuk or Tarnashah? You can't do a couple of
things. Savik Shnai Mikra Lahakam. Whatever helps you learn better, I would think is fine. Okay, I mean, there's no shita on the books that I know of that says to do it that way, but I don't think anyone says it's ma'akev. None of this is ma'akev, I don't think. I mean, you just got to do it. Some other details about Shnai Mikra Vecha Targum in the way that it's done. Maybe very similar, yeah?
Is there value, obviously there's value, but is there value to the next one to do like one aliyah, two aliyahs, three aliyahs, or
I mean, if that's how you learn better, that's it's easier for you to keep track of where you're up to. Okay.
No, like let's say you don't finish it.
Of course, there's value. There's value in Talmud Torah. There's value in being with the tzibur. You're just not being mashlim with the tzibur. Yeah, there's value to try your best. You know, sometimes a person can't go 0 to 60 in a second. You got to build up a little bit. So I remember when my kids were in Yeshiva Ketana of Lana, certainly the younger ones, after Rabbi Krugsman Shlita, who was here for a week, after he came, I think they start, right? Was it only after he came that they started the Shnai Mikra program? Yeah. Who remembers? Anyone? Any Yeshiva Ketana boys?
Yeah.
Huh? Yeah. So you didn't have it?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So it was younger kids. So they would start with very young children. Then they would have the younger kids do up to the Sheni or Shlishi or whatever, and then they built up. And by the time, hopefully, they got to Bar Mitzvah. Okay, so maybe people are a little bit behind, past Bar Mitzvah. So then you build up to the point where you're able to do it, fully. Yeah. Now, other details about how to do Shnayim. The Mishnah Berurah in Resh Pei Hei, Sivkat and Beis, and Sivkat and Vav, Kotzerat Vaz, that some do it mitoch ha-sefer atzmo v'lo mitoch chumash, that they do it from a sefer Torah dafka. And some are very careful not to be mafsik during Shnayim Mikra. And Mishnah Berurah says, oh, that's a really great idea. And the Shaar HaTzion, he says that pashut, you shouldn't be mafsik between one pasuk and the other, that's Medina. And when he says Yafa Adavar, that means between Parsha and Parsha, not to be mafsik. It also sounds from the poskim that ideally you should read Shnayim Mikra V'Chatargim with the trup. And Beis Yosef writes that if you know the trup Baal Peh, so even best to read from the Sefer Torah with the trup. Mishnah Berurah quotes from Prima Gadin that min adin malamid tinokos is yotze Shnayim Mikra V'Chatargim when he's being malamid the tinokos. So and from that you see that there's no it must not be necessary to read with the trap, because the Malami Tinokos typically didn't read with the trap. Not always. Sometimes the Malami Tinokos does read with the trap. But bottom line is, what are all these things? Trap, not stopping in random places, reading from a Sefer Torah. What does all that sound like? Yeah, this is all Kriyas HaTorah, right? These are all Kriyas HaTorah Dekadinim. This isn't Talmud Torah Dekadinim. If you're learning Torah, you can learn Torah and stop wherever you get up to. You don't have to. So it sounds that this is all Dumyud de Kriyas HaTorah. So the whole Takana is Ka'ein Kriyas HaTorah. According to the Levush, that it's only a din in Talmud Torah, then there's no reason to read Dafka from a Torah and not from a Chumash. It doesn't make sense not to be mafsik between one parsha and the other, or that you would have to read it with the trap in the first place, unless you say that the trap helps with your understanding, which it does. So, maybe you can have an argument there. Also, the Marsham writes in the Tshuva that there's a machlokas. What do you do if you skip one Shabbos? That some say you should read first this week's parsha and then make up for the missed parsha. And others say that you should read last week's parsha and only then move on to this week's parsha. Similar to Kriyas HaTorah, that if you're mashlim, if a tzibur missed Kriyas HaTorah for 1 week, remember the first week of Corona? That was the shiur that everyone was giving. If you miss a week of Kriyas HaTorah, because that's what we had a chalom, that was what it was going to be, that it was going to be 1 week of Kriyas HaTorah. So what do you do? So you first mashlim the previous week's parsha, and then you read into this week's parsha. The same is true with Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum. So the Chora, that second shita works very well if you hold that it's a Kriyas HaTorah type of din. But it's not mukhrach, because even according to the shita that it's din in Talmud Torah, it makes sense that you should learn in order, right? That you should learn in order, that the Chumash Ein Muktav Mukhar B'Torah does not mean that the Chumash is totally randomized. It doesn't mean that Hashem took a bunch of psukim and then just hit random and it just totally randomized. It means that there's no chronological order in the Torah, but there is a very good reason for the order of the Torah. The Torah is in a specific order for a reason. So maybe that would help the most in Limud Torah. Also, can you be Korei Lemafreya? The Mishnah Berurah quotes in the name of the Eliyahu Rabbah that you have to be Korei Keseder. Kaf HaChaim says that you have to be Chozer Korei Keseder if you read it out of order. In the Ketos HaShulchan, he says that even if you read the Mafreya, you Yotze. So if it's Mamish Dumya to Kriyas HaTorah, L'chorot Pasha, you Yotze, because the Kriyas HaTorah we paskin Korei Lemafreya Yotze. And Shnayim Mikra V'Echad Targum, which is a commemoration of Kriyas HaTorah, shouldn't be more chumer than Kriyas HaTorah. But if it's about Talmud Torah, it could be that when you're reading it out of order, it doesn't make any sense. And if it doesn't make any sense, then you're not going to be Yotze. Questions? There were some hands before.
What should
one
do if he misses a week?
I always thought the better to do that week's parsha, because the Gemara's emphasis is imatibur. Yes, it's Yashlim Parshiyos, but it's Imat Tzibur. So the first priority has to be what the Tzibur is doing. And then the next priority would be,
Also, depending on what you do, too, if there are parts of Tefillah that have Sukkim, let's say Korbanos or Shema or parts of that, are you able
to... So you can do a double dip and count those as parts of... Maybe. I don't know. Suffix Shnayim Mikra. I don't know. I mean, that's really out of order. That's like out of context and out of order. I don't know. Okay. Another potential issue, we're not going to get through all the nafkamina, should I just go in order anyway? Another potential nafkamina might be, or another potential issue, when do you do Shnei Mikra? And at what point do you do Shnei Mikra? Tosfos Maseches Brachos, Daf Chesem Beis, says that you could do Shnei Mikra V'Chatagim the entire week, because you begin the next week's Parsha at Mincha the week before, so that already turns the page on the new Parsha. Talmid Rabbeinu Yonah says similarly that you have to finish it before Kriyas HaTorah on Shabbos, but you could begin way earlier in the week. But he said you can't get like 2 or 3 weeks ahead. You can't be like, oh, I'm going to be busy for the next few weeks, so let me get ahead. I'm going to want to take vacation, so let me just finish Dvarim now, and I'll get all the way to Simchas Torah. You can't do it like that. That you're not allowed to do. But it's not clear if reading on Shabbos itself after Mincha, meaning you could begin from the beginning of the week. These Rishonim say, tell us in the Midrash and Yonah. Beginning of the week is Sunday. We turn the page already at Shabbos Mincha. Can you already start Shnei Mikra after Mincha? It doesn't really say in Tosfos and Rabbeinu Yonah. The tour is mefurish that it's got to be Sunday. It's got to be Yom Rishon. You can't start on the Shabbos. And he says that the Rishonim write Kivin Shemaschilim Parsha Biyom Shabbos BeMincha. When they say that it's all about starting the parsha, then that's only a reason that you're allowed to start as early as Sunday, but it's not a reason to be matir the Shnei Mikra V'Chatagim already at that point. That's what the Torah quotes from Ria Buav. In the Kolbo, it's also Mefurish that you can't start after Mincha, because that day is a day that's associated with the previous week's parsha. So since that day was a day that you were reading the previous week's parsha, it's got to cut on calendar lines in order to be able to do the new week of Shnei Mikra. Yeah.
According to the Torah, Shabbos, the end of Shabbos is a dead zone.
It's a dead zone, but you can't do either one. Yeah, that's what it seems like. Yeah, although we didn't yet get to when you have to finish it by, but it might be a dead zone. Yeah, the Mordechai and the Golos Maimonios, both quoted by the Darkei Moshe, say that you could read the next week's parsha ready from Mincha. That you can do it from Mincha. La halacha, the Mishnah Berurah and Sifkat and Zayin sounds like you're allowed to read Minah Mincha Lamayla. That you are allowed to start in the previous Shabbos. The Torah and the Mechaber say Miyom Rishon. Lav Dafka Yom Rishon. What really turns the page is when at Mincha when you have the new Kriyas HaTorah. In fact, Rav Salvechik in the Harei Kedem points out that Chazal have a concept called Zman Beis HaMedrash. So he says Zman Beis HaMedrash is a time where they used to be focused on learning halacha on Shabbos, on learning serious iyun halacha on Shabbos, and that was the time that you're not supposed to read ksuvim during the Zman Beis HaMedrash. So Salvechik thought that it's most mistaver, and he had rais from Rishonim, that Zman Beis HaMedrash begins with Kriyas HaTorah in the morning. That kicks off the Zman Beis HaMedrash, ends with Kriyas HaTorah at Mincha. And that's why Shalosh Shudos, the practice is, we showed him already, quote, that the practice is, because based on the fact that Shalosh Shudos is Moshe Rabbeinu's Petira, was at Shalosh Shudos, and Chacham Shemei's based Midrash of Batel, so we don't learn Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu, we don't learn serious, how would I say this in a way that's not offensive. We don't learn the kind of Torah that is challenging, that is, rigorous. Rigorous, let's say that. We don't learn rigorous Torah during Shalosh Shudos. So what do? You say Chasidus Avartlach, you sing a lot, you close your eyes, whatever. Because that's, so the kind of Torah people typically say is something that Moshe Rabbeinu will look at and say, what? I didn't say that. So Chacham Shemeis, based Midrash, I try. Chacham Shemeis, based Midrash Abatel. So that's why that minag comes from. But from these, from Mishmur, it sounds like you are allowed to already do Shnayim Mikra at that point. Now, when do you have to end by? So Tosfos has two deos if you have to finish before you eat on Shabbos. In the tour, he says that it's mitzvah min mufchar, before you eat on Shabbos, you should finish Shnayim Mikra. But p'diyeved, as long as it's before Mincha time. But after Mincha, avar zmana. Too late after Mincha. Sounds like, wild, it sounds like, Avar Zmanah Mamish, that you can't even, the Torah sounds like you can't even make it up, which is really against the Gemara, it seems. In the Bir Alach, he says that the reason you have to finish before the Suda is because we're afraid that if once you get involved in the Suda, you know, like these winter Shabbosos, where, you know, you're going to chap mincha at like 4 o'clock, right? And then dafyomi before mincha is 3 o'clock. Like, by the time you sit down to your Suda, Shabbos is over already. So it's we're afraid that you're not going to finish if you wait that long. Beis Yosef writes that there are those Rishonim that hold they can be mashlim ad yom revi'i. Right, that's a very well-known shita, and he quotes that according to Rabbeinu Simcha, you could be mashlim until Shmini Atzeres, and then another shita of the Arzarua that you should do it before you enter the shul on Shabbos morning. Beis Yosef says that there yesh medaktikim to begin Shnayim Mikra Vechatagim on erev Shabbos and finish it on Shabbos one day, the whole thing. To do one day the whole Shnayim Mikra Vechatagim. So in Shulchan Aruch, he quotes a whole bunch of these shitos, and he's not mechriya one way or the other. I saw Rav Shechter as in Pnine Arav that the Iker Zman is on Shabbos. That the best time to do it is on Shabbos itself, or at least on Erev Shabbos. I think he doesn't say Pnine Arav, but Rav Shechter has told us that on Erev Shabbos also. Right? That's the real ideal time to do it. So it turns out that there are 4 shitos when to begin Shnayim Mikra, 5 shitos when you could finish it. To begin, Shabbos Mincha, Sunday, Erev Shabbos, Shabbos, L'chadchila at least. To finish, before Shachris Shabbos morning, before eating Shabbos day, before Mincha, B'dieva, the Beis Yosef says, until Wednesday, Rabbeinu Simcha, that you could be mashlim until Shmini Atzeres. Mishabura Paskins, Avalo Yikra Echad Mikra V'Echad Targum V'Yichavin L'Shma Me'ashatz El Tzarech Likros Beis Pab Mikra Chutz M'Mashasha Me'ashatz Im Lo Shekara Oz Gam Kein B'Piv. So he says, don't rely on just listening to Laning. But then he adds, unless you say it along. If you say it along while you're listening to Laney, then that can count as one of the times. Magen Avram quotes in the name of the Lechem Chamudos, B'dieved Yotzei, one time by hearing from the Shliach Tzibur, and he says, Yesh Achron that are Machmir B'dieved, but again, there's a simple solution to that. Just read it along. So you have this Machlokas Achronim, even through Shomei HaKohanah. Okay, so what is all this, how does all this plug back into us? So, I should mention, in Orchos Rabbeinu, the stipler used to do, on most Shabbosos, would do on Erev Shabbos one time Mikra, and then at Kriyas HaTorah, together with the Bal Koreh, he would do a second time Mikra, and Ben Gavra LeGavra, he would do the Targum. Then Imamish incorporated it into the Kriyas HaTorah. Wow. Like the Kula of the Mishnah Berurah. That if you say it along with the Balkori, that you could be Yotze. That's what the stipler did. Now the stipler was not a man of many kulos, right? Meaning the stipler was a person who kept many chumra, every chumra in the book pretty much, and many that are not in anybody's book. The stipler kept. He was, you know who the stipler was? I assume everybody knows who the stipler was. I mean, now he's known as the father of Rav Chaim Kanievsky, but you know. Used to be the Chaim Kanievsky was known as the Stipler's son. I forgot which gadol it was. I think it was Rav Gustman. The first time he met Rav Chaim Kanievsky, he said, the Stipler's son can learn a little bit, you know. Like he was, you know, but then he was known as the Stipler's son. So how does this plug back into our discussion? So it could be that it depends on what the purpose is. If it's it connected to Kriyas HaTorah, or somehow Dinin Talmud Torah, if it's Midin Kriyas HaTorah, so you should do it. B'shas Kriyas HaTorah would be the ideal time to do it, or at least before you eat your Sudas your Shabbos. And especially according to Rav Soloveitchik, that the Iker Zman is Dafka on Shabbos. Because that's when the Iker Zman of Kriyas HaTorah is, and it's a kula to start earlier in the week. Because if it's a din of Talmud Torah, then slow and steady, right? Meaning the best way to really absorb in terms of Talmud Torah, you would think, is to do a little bit each day, and not to try to just swallow the whole thing all at once. To try to to finish it in its entirety. I've seen Rav Shechter do an Erev Shabbos. I don't think I've ever seen him do Shnayim Mikra not on Erev Shabbos. Maybe on Shabbos itself, but I've seen him do on Erev Shabbos. Remember once Rav Shechter came to our community for a Shabbos, And he stayed by my sister's house, because my sister had the nicest guest accommodations at the time. So we figured we'd put them by my sister's house. And like an hour before Shabbos, my sister had a blackout, power outage. Oh, always the worst time, right? So I went over to see if everything was okay. And the house was totally dark. And Rav Shechter is sitting there by the window, you know, with a little chumash like this by the window, you know, trying to do his Shnayim Mikra. But so I've seen him do several times. I've been with him Friday in between phone calls at the OU. He'll sometimes hop a little Shnayim Mikra. Question?
Would there be any one that holds that if you finish it before Shabbos lunch, so let's say you read along with the Tzibor during laning, and then you finish off the Targum or Mikra from last week after davening before the meal?
Yeah, we said that.
You're in the middle of two parshas. I didn't finish the last parsha. I'm
yotzei
with the tzibor, and then
the previous. Parsha. What do you mean that week's parsha? I'm not sure what you're saying. That is that week's parsha, right? So that week's parsha you can still do till the meal. I'm b'diavad because it's the Shmini Atzeres. No. Now what? Yeah.
This is a random question. How is this like with the meals of? To do it between each
aliyah,
like,
a lot of mishberachs. That's what I assume. Or he really knew the Targum very, very well. He spoke very, very fast. I don't know. I don't know how this time he managed to do it. It's a good question. So I don't know. Maybe you got to check in the Letterman Shul. Did they have a lot of? I assume that's where he used to daven, right? That's where they have. They have a lot of mishberachs. I don't know. They probably waited for him.
Yeah.
Okay. Could be. I don't think that would be a terrible disappointment. Wait, everyone. I have a minute to finish Shas in between every meal. You know, like, you come, you play by his rules. Okay, maybe, it could be. It could be. Like, you know what to expect. You come, it's like, you're going to visit Rav Chaim Kanievsky, take your watch off. Like, you know the rules. Just follow the rules. I hear. Okay. Another potential nafkamina. Beis Yosef quotes in Shumas HaDeshen that Dafka, the parashios we read each Shabbos, you have to be mashlem and matzibur. But the Kriyas HaTorah of Yantif, you have no din of Shnai Mikra in the Kriyas HaTorah of Yantif. And Shulchan Aruch paskins this way. He says, Yesh Nogim to be Kori Daf Torah. And the Mishnah Berurah says, because you're already mashlem and parashios of throughout the Shabbosos HaShana, so since you already covered them, you don't need to read them again. But the Haftorah, you should, since it's a unique Haftorah, you should read the Haftorah. So Beis Yosef said, not just Lechorah, Beis Yosef actually says this explicitly, that this is dependent on why they were masaking it. So Alpha Bishakasav, the Perush Rabbeinu Chanan, Elefshar Shatam, Shechayv Lashon Parsh Yosef, Kdei Shei Rogil B'mashat Tzibur Korin, V'imkein Ayitzarach Lashon Parsh Yosef Shal Yom Tov Musafin, says Beis Yosef, if the purpose is, let's say, the second of the three possibilities that we had, to enrich your Kriyas HaTorah experience, then you should do it then. You should do the Yantif reading in order that when comes time for the Yantif Kriyas HaTorah, you'll be in it, you'll be doing it. But if the reason is a curriculum in Talmud Torah, that everyone should finish the Chumash once a year. Well, why should those parashios be finished more? I understand we're going to read them in Shul, because in Yanat Yoma, right, that I get. But why should those parashios be finished more than once a year and other parashios finish only once a year? No, Elamai, you would not do the Yom Tov Kriyas. If it's a reenactment of Kriyas HaTorah, then certainly you would do for the Yom Tov Kriyas as well. So again, remember what I said yesterday, when it comes to these nafkaminas, you're not going to be able to really cut these nafkaminas and say, oh, so if I hold this in principle, then it necessarily means every shita is going to line up, right? It doesn't fit neatly. It's a helpful construct within which to think about, you know, all of the issues that come up with Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum. Can we do one more? I only have 1 minute left. We can do one more? One more nafkamina? Give me one more? Do women do Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum? Anyone have any idea? Do women do Shnayim Mikra Vecha Targum? Mitzvei Shazman Grama, interesting. Women might be Chayiv Mitzvei Drabanu Shazman Grama, right? Machlokes Rashi tells us in Brachos. If it's a drabban, maybe they're chayiv. So do women do Shema Kosanu? What are you talking about? Do women do Kriya Satorah? Not do, but okay. Well, even do. Do women do Kriya Satorah? I'm not asking what they do in your local school. I'm asking like, me, do women do Kriya Satorah? Right? I suspect I know what the answer is in Orthodox schools, right? But Meikradim, Medina de Gemara. Why do those progressive whatever, right? Why are they writing tshuvas saying that they're allowed to do all these crazy things? Because Medina de Gemara, it sort of works out, right? Medina de Gemara in Isha's Olu L'Minyan Shiva. What does it mean, Olu L'Minyan Shiva? One of the seven aliyahs. So, are women chayv v'shayim mechav v'achatarv? Shulchanarach paskins, reish pei beisiv gimel, hakol olam minyan shiva, afilu isha. Says the Magen Avraham, mashmi kan, di isha chayev v'slishmo kriya satar. A woman must be chayv in kriya satar. Even though it was nitkan mishum talmud Torah, and women are chayv in talmud Torah, but there's a mitzvah in the kihila to hear kriya satar. So therefore, that's why they're all the minyan shiva. Then the Magen Avraham hedges a little bit on that. It says, maybe not. Maybe they're not chayiv in Kriyas HaTorah, but they're still all the minyan shiva. But Pashto says that they're related. Rav Menashe Klein in the Mishnah Halachos, the Ungvar Rav. My grandfather's from Ungvar. He was Rav Menashe Klein. Who's Rav Menashe? Rav Menashe Klein was a very serious Hungarian posek. You know, very, very religious Jew, to put it mildly. And who is his best friend in the whole world? Elie Wiesel. Right? Very good. Why? Why were they such good friends? What? I mean, certainly not at the end of his life he wasn't, right? Meaning, why were they such good friends? They were in the Holocaust together. When you go through Auschwitz with somebody, it has an impact. So Elie Wiesel paid for Rav Menashe Klein's yeshiva. He was like the main donor to Rav Menashe Klein's mostos. It's fascinating. What? Maybe. Also talks like my grandfather's from Ungvar also. And was actually with Elie Wiesel and Rav Menashe Klein also. He has there's a certain way of speaking that people from that part of the world speak. It's very fascinating. Anyway, so someone told me that when Rav Menashe Klein saw Elie Wiesel, he said a bracha. Rav Menashe Klein's grandnephew davened to my shul, so he said when Rav Menashe Klein saw Elie Wiesel, he said a bracha. I was giving a shiur about the bracha you say on a chacham michachmi umos ha'olam. Right, there's a bracha you say on a chacham muflag michachmi umos ha'olam, even if it's not michachmi Israel. So shenasan mechachmaso lebasar v'damai, I guess, right? Shechalak mechachmaso liyareyav is to chacham Yisrael, shenasan mechachmaso lebasar v'dam. So someone came up to me and said, I know my great uncle said a bracha on Elie Wiesel. So because Rav Menashe Klein has a tshuva about, do you say a bracha on a chacham who's a Jew, but his chachma is not in Torah? Say a Nobel Prize winning Jew. You say a bracha and if so, which bracha? And he said, Chas v'shalom to say a bracha on such a person. You're celebrating that he's a batlan? You're celebrating that he didn't learn Torah all that time? He could have been learning and he wasn't learning? So the guy came over to me and he said, but my great uncle said a bracha on Elie Wiesel. I said, yeah, he said a shechianu on him. Because you say a bracha on a close friend you haven't seen in 30 days, you say a shechianu. Or if it's 12 months, say Mechaya Mesim. I'm sure it was a Shechiyam. I'm sure it had nothing to do with the Chachman, with his Nobel Prize or anything else. Right? But Rav Menashe Klein discusses this issue about women in Shnayim Mikra. He says, of course they don't do Shnayim Mikra. Of course, they're part of Talmud Torah. This is purely a din in Talmud Torah. L'chora, 100% Tali in our Chakira. If it's a din in Kriyas HaTorah, you say, women are Chayiv in Kriyas HaTorah. Maybe they can be Chayiv in Shnayim Mikra as well. But if you hold it's a din in Talmud Torah, so Nashim are part of the Talmud Torah, so they're not going to be chayiv in Shnayim Mikra. What do they teach girls in the seminaries? Anyone know? Anyone with a sister? Girlfriend? I don't know. Anyone have any idea? I have no idea. I've never taught in a seminary. I don't know what they say. But I assume not. I don't know why I assume that. I just. What?
Probably depends which
seminary. Maybe it depends which seminary. That's true. All right. It's not like they all have the same curriculum, right? That is true. That's fair enough. So now you know what to ask if you want an unusual shidduch question when the time comes. You can ask if she's not going to be a shnayim mikra. Okay.